What's up, patrons? Welcome to the first Q&A featuring Phil and Will. We've never actually done this. This will be fun. Alexa and I have been doing a Q&A for a while. This has been content for our $5 patrons pretty much since we started the Patreon, which I think was 2019. We've been doing a Q&A once a month. Now it's going to be twice a month. It's going to be every other week. Will and I are going to be putting out a Q&A. Every now and then, maybe it'll be Phil and Blake. Maybe it'll be Phil and somebody else. Maybe it'll be Will and somebody else. Who knows?
Why can't it be Will and someone else? Or just Will alone. Just give me all the questions.
You got to create demand for yourself. That's what we need here. And I think the demand is coming based on the Phil and Will show, where everybody sides with you, that the Lions are just being crybabies. So, you know, here we are. However, we are going to be doing this Q&A. We have a couple questions coming from the fans. If you have questions that you want answered, get them in. Send them to us. If you're a patron, which some of you won't be because this is the one that's going out to YouTube. So if you're interested in this kind of thing, check out what else is over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/thespecialist. It's right here at the bottom of the screen. If you're watching, if you're listening, you just heard it. Check it out. $5 tier. Twice a month, we'll be getting a Q&A, and it'll be every other week. So it will be a little bit more consistent rather than just being, oh, we got one on the 29th and one on the 30th. So if you're interested, think about that. Think about our $10 tier. Think about our $20 tier. This is our final Patreon preview. So you've already seen Survivor Rock Draw. You've already seen the Cinema Specialist $5 Tuesdays. You've already seen Will's New Era Rewatch. You've already seen Every Season Matters. And you have already seen The Casting Perspective. So this is our final Patreon preview, at least in this initial drop. And, you know, if you're interested in it, head over to patreon.com/thespecialist. Will, how's it feel to be here for a Q&A?
I'm ready. I've never, like you said, I haven't done this. You guys came up with this idea to just let the listeners ask questions when it was you and Alexa. So I'm happy to be a part of it and excited to see what kind of questions we got. I have no idea. I've not looked at the questions. It's kind of like Survivor Rock Draw, where I had no idea what the topics that we could even choose from were. So let's just start firing away.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off with this first one. And this one came from Maxwell Yoder. And it actually was not a question in our Discord. It was a question that was just posted on one of the videos. And I want to preface before we get into this, these questions can be about anything. They don't have to just be Survivor-related questions. You want to ask questions about other stuff? If we're uncomfortable answering it, we won't answer it. But if you want to ask questions about other stuff, go ahead and ask. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Survivor. This one is Survivor, though. This is from Maxwell Yoder. And this one, this lets you know, Will, that this guy is a fan. This is a fan. I'm actually smiling, giggling, thinking about how much of a fan this person is. I wonder if Will still considers Millennials versus Gen X his favorite season. He personally thinks it's a top five season. Will, do you remember claiming on this podcast that Millennials versus Gen X was your favorite season?
I do. I do. I absolutely remember that. And I always kind of remember, like, I think there's a difference between like the best season and your favorite season. And we could probably, you know, argue about that for a half hour. Like, what does that mean? Like, if it's your favorite, then why isn't the best? Well, if it's the best, if you think it's the best, then why isn't your favorite? How can those two things be different? I think that one, that was such a special season. Like, that's when you and I, we started podcasting in the middle of season 29, San Juan del Sur, probably like right at the merge or something.
Three episodes left. That's it.
Only three episodes left. We're, you know, we just started talking about it on Google Hangouts when that was still a thing. And I think we got like 8 views, but we had fun and we talked about it. And then we just kind of stuck with it. And then we just got more and more listeners and we stuck with it. And it was basically Survivor 33 that kind of took us from like, hey, this is just like a random little thing we like doing, to be like, oh wow, we're actually having a lot of success and having a lot of fun. And the podcast, I think, took the next step when that season was airing. Adam was a big fan. He was a listener of the Survivor. I don't even think we were Survivor Special. And a buff winner from the Bootless game. He was listening to us. I don't even think we were the Survivor Specialists yet. I think we were just called Phil and Will. Like, we didn't even have Survivor in our title. Probably dumb, you know, marketing or whatever search results that we probably could have done better. Put Survivor in the name of the damn show. But that was just such a great season, an important season. That's when we went to Pop Fest. We met Jeff Probst. We were doing challenges against him. We met a lot of the cast members. And then after that season aired, Adam came on, and he was the winner of that season. That was our first ever interview with a cast member, which that Like we went, what, I guess 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. If I counted, that's five whole seasons aired. I guess not whole season 29.
It was four whole seasons before we got anybody.
Four whole seasons before we had even had a player on the podcast. That was so foreign and exciting and new for us. And now, Phil, it feels like you're just like friends with half the Survivor alumni, and they just come on willy-nilly to do predictions and power rankings with you like every episode. So just that whole, you know, the talk to a Survivor winner on our show, that was huge. I mentioned the Pop Fest thing. Obviously, that was huge. Huge. That was a huge life turning point for myself, because it allowed me to meet, you know, the Survivor production team and wiggle my way in there. But I don't know if it's my favorite season. It's like a very special season. I think it's probably a top 10, I would say. I don't know if I go top five, but I mean, episode to episode, that's how I always rank seasons too. Is like thinking about it episode to episode, how much fun am I having? I don't really look at the whole, well, who won? Was it satisfying? It's like, no, was I enjoying it week to week? Like, was I really invested? And I think that one, like you get to that finale and you're like, man, is like David actually going to pull this off? Maybe Jay is like a random chance. Adam had like gotten killed by the edit at the merge. So I had like really, I'd eliminated him as a winner possibility. I mean, Hannah could have come out of nowhere. Ken probably wasn't winning, but you were like, I don't know. You really didn't know who was going to win. Exciting. We had a rock draw, which rarely happens. So I don't know. I don't think it's my favorite season. I still probably go Cagayan as just like favorite.
Yeah. I love that question. And I like the way you described it there with favorite versus best. Cause when John and I did our favorite 100 movies of all time, if you want to check anybody who's a huge movie fan, check that out. It's really fun. There's some movies in there that I know aren't the best movies ever. Like The World's End, which is a movie with Simon Pegg, which is the end of that trilogy, you know, loosely trilogy of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and then The World's End. I understand that that's not one of the 100 greatest movies ever made, but it's one of my 100 favorite movies. And I think Survivor, there's a lot of subjectivity that goes into that. When I look at my favorite seasons right now, I go number one is China, number two is Heroes versus Villains, and number three is Koh Rong. And Koh Rong, a lot of the reason I love that season is because of this podcast. And I remember, Will, after Millennials vs. Gen X ended, you said, this is the most fun I've ever had watching Survivor. And I think that's a true statement based on where we were at the time.
Right. I think I was actually just going to say, I remember saying that, and I still think that's true. I don't know if I've, like, watching a season live week to week as it airs, that was my favorite season watching. Mm-hmm. That still is true.
Yeah.
Do I think it's the best season of the show or my favorite season of the show? No, but it was my favorite season to watch as it aired. And I think those are two very different things.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fair. Funny, quick aside here, you were talking about how we were just Phil and Will for a time. The reason why this kind of came onto our radar even was when we were both living in LA, I was going on job interviews for just pretty much anything. You just go on entertainmentcareers.net and you just apply to every single job. So I got an interview for this brand and marketing place. And it was like a one guy business. He had his assistant. It was run out of his house. I went in, I hit it off with the assistant. She sent me home. And then as I'm driving home, she calls me back and she's like, hey, he wants to meet with you. So I go back, I meet with him and I'm talking to him and I'm kind of giving the lowdown. He's like, what's this Phil and Will thing? I'm like, oh, it's a Survivor podcast. And he looks at me, he goes, and you don't have Survivor in the name? And that was when I remember calling Will on the way home from that interview. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to get this job, but we need to put Survivor in our title. This is insane that we don't have that. That's just lazy marketing. And I forget who came up with the name. I know somebody actually.
I know we put it out because we're like, we're just like Phil and Will. And we talk about Survivor. And then we're like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And so we said, we're open to names. Like if someone wants to toss it out. And it was a listener. It was a YouTube comment. I wish I could give credit to whoever it was commented Survivor Specialists, which is, you know, it's that word has such a kind of a weird infamy with Survivor and like Philip, and you're Phil. So I guess that makes sense. And I like to think it's a little bit tongue in cheek too, where we're the specialists, like we know everything and we don't.
You don't.
Don't either. It's just funny. Like I hope people aren't like, wow, these people call themselves a specialist. Like that's, wow. They really must think highly of themselves. It's a little bit of it's a nod to Survivor and its place in the show. And also, yeah, it's an alliteration. It sounds good.
It does sound really good. It really does. And honestly, like the fact that now it branches off into the cinema specialist, that has a nice ring to it. Even if I'm not a cinema specialist, it has a nice ring to it. So the specialist is a good word. It is. So good for Philip for coming up with that alliance in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to ask you this question. So this was actually a question that on the final Q&A Alexa and I did in December was brought up. But I want to bring it up to you right now because, I mean, everybody who pretty much listens to this podcast knows at this point that you exist, and either they know why you left the show or why you left the podcast was to go on the show or work on the show, or they know that, like, okay, Will does have something to do with like reality TV. So I want to ask you this question because I feel like you can give a different perspective. This is from FireX. Did we really need 90-minute episodes after the merge in season 45, especially without rewards every week? And I want to just throw this out there first. There was a huge turn on social media and on Reddit and such when all of a sudden the numbers started going down and these episodes stayed 90 minutes. What everybody was loving about 90 minutes for the first 5-6 episodes started to seem like more of a negative for the show in the second half. Is that something that you think they were considering and that they're going to be looking at as they move forward? We already know season 46 is going to have 90-minute episodes, but what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not, I don't think it depends on like where you're at in the show. It has to do with like the network's television schedule and what they order from SEG from the show. And so last year when we had the writer's strike and the actor's strike, you know, there are very few shows that could be shot. Even a lot of reality shows that have SAG hosts or that have celebrities as contestants, like a lot of shows, they can't go. They just, they can't do it. And that's why Survivor, that's the reason why Survivor went to 90 minutes. And I don't think it didn't come out of, hey, we're looking at Survivor, this show that's been on for 40 some seasons and it's not working. You know, this 45 minutes doesn't give us enough time. People don't like it, because clearly that's not the case. We've had 45 minutes for 44 seasons of the damn show. Uh-huh. So it just came out of what the airtime needed to be filled by CBS. And so I don't know if, I mean, to look at a season and say, hey, pre-merge, let's do 90 minutes, post-merge, let's do 45 minutes. I mean, then what you'd have to do is, I guess I should say 90 minutes in an hour. What you then have to be able to find another show that's in the fall or in the spring and have it like be a half season of that half hour, like a comedy that only has 6 episodes or 7. And that the whole, you know, if this was a streaming show, I don't even think it would matter. You see with a lot of streaming content these days, you might have a 45-minute episode, then you might have a 58-minute episode, or you might have a 52-minute episode. You might have a 37-minute episode. If you watch any Netflix shows like The Circle or Love is Blind.
I mean, dude, The Traitors was like that big time. There was an episode that was 42 minutes and the next one was 59.
Yeah. And that's what streaming allows you to do. You're not so rigid with you needing to fit within these certain hours for broadcast schedules. And you're not running a certain amount of ads because it's based on a subscription. So you can just say whatever time we need to tell the story without it going on too long and getting boring, that's when we can, you know, tighten it up, and you can fit the story and tell it as you need to, the best way it needs to be told. Because Survivor's on CBS, on a big major broadcast network, they don't have that luxury. So I think it's going to be either or. I don't see them ever doing that. And then answering the question is, you know, I honestly didn't even know that was a thing that people were saying, that post-merge it felt like they were dragging out. I watch Survivor like without ads, like, and I don't watch it live, so I just kind of boop, like I just jump through it, and it's, so I didn't really feel that it was lagging or like going on too long. Like I did not get that feeling. Did you?
No, so I think here's the difference, right, between us and a lot of other fans, and this isn't a knock on the younger fans, it's just a different generation of people and mindsets and things. I think that for me, I love Survivor because of what Survivor originally was. I don't necessarily love Survivor because of what it became. I love it because of what it was. And I know we did the whole thing with Every Season Matters. We were talking about Borneo really in depth. And you know, some of that, it's, you know, I think, was it James? I think James Lim used to call it the nature show. That's really what you were watching. You were watching the nature show. You don't feel like you're watching Survivor now where we are. But I find entertainment in the camp life and the little things and the smaller moments that we're getting in each of these episodes. And I think some people just got to the point where they felt, oh, it's too predictable. We're dragging this out. We know that this season also had like almost a pagonging. It didn't, but that's how people felt it was going. But I don't know. To me, the vote, I've always said the vote doesn't make or break a Survivor episode. The vote can elevate a Survivor episode into the next tier.
Right.
But if the vote is the only thing I remember about the episode, it's not a good episode. Even if it has right. an amazing vote out, that's not what does it. So for me, I would have watched I'd watch 2 hours of Survivor every single episode, every single week, and have no problem.
Yeah. And I think more Survivor is good. And I think it paints a more clear picture of what's going on there. I just didn't feel it at all. I could see if, yeah, okay, now we got like 7 people left as opposed to having 18. And we have the same amount of time. I could see that, but I don't know. It's just, I think they got to fill the show and they know that too. Like they know going out. So it's like, they will add in a journey or add in a twist or like do something. Were there not rewards?
There was only a couple. There was maybe 2 or 3 the whole season.
Yeah. The rewards in the new era. I've talked about that in my new era rewatch, just looking at the rewards and yeah, they haven't been great.
No.
But I don't know. I think it's on Survivor if they know they're doing 90 minutes to produce towards 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm a fan of having it. I definitely more Survivor's good.
Yeah. And I think the other problem too, like you're never going to get to the point where half a season is going to be 60 minutes, half a season is going to be 90 minutes. You can't do that. And also if like in the post merge, you had 3 90 minute episodes and then randomly in between those, there was a 60 minute. Everybody knows that 60 minute is now going to be a boring episode, or it's going to be a predictable episode, a predictable boot. That's why they're shortening it. You know, like if you start thinking about it from that way, obviously, like you said, there is a production schedule. It's the broadcast schedule. That's really what's more important here. But it is, you can't start doing, oh, this one's going to be 90. This one's going to be 60. This one's going to be 90. This one's going to be 60. Because on CBS, that does matter. On a streaming network, it doesn't matter. But on CBS, you would know a 60 minute episode would mean this is going to, we don't have much to tell you.
Yeah, and that is actually interesting. Even if let's say it was on a streaming platform, let's just say CBS is like, you know what, Survivor is one of our biggest shows and performs really well. We're trying to convert everyone to Paramount Plus. That's our number one goal. We're pulling Survivor off CBS. We're making it Paramount Plus exclusive. Like you have to have Paramount Plus. Even then, if the episodes vary that much, like if we get, you know, because let's say there's a crazy tribal council where there's a tie vote and then there's a live tribal or like something really big goes down or knowledge, power, whatever. Because sometimes we get a really long tribal sequence mm-hmm. and you can get, now we're at 55 minutes. Once you're going through the season and watching and you get like, oh, this episode's 38 minutes. You're going to be like, I kind of mm-hmm. know. You're right. It will forecast maybe who's getting booted, because if it was a major blindside or a huge move, like the Kelly blindside in 45, like that's not going to be in a 37 minute episode.
No.
And or 42 minute episodes when all the other episodes are like 51 or 53. Mm-hmm. Maybe if their range is like, hey, our range is from 45 minutes to 55, and there's not like, you know, it doesn't, no episode is like a huge outlier, then maybe that's fine. I don't know. We're kind of talking in this big hypothetical here, but
that's what the question asked us to do, Mr. Will.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we answered it well. Like I didn't feel that it dragged at all. And I think more Survivor's good just across the board.
I agree. And I mean, you have to think they should have 90 minutes of content for us, especially since it's 1 hour once you break in the commercials and everything, considering this is taking place, even in the episodes that are only taking place over the course of a day, there's 24 hours there. There's 24 hours that you can work with to make an hour of good TV. So It's not that hard. Okay. Next question. Moving on. This one's from Alex Trias. This goes back to your first experience with when you actually got to go and work on the show. Would love to know the experience the first season when you found out that you were going to get to start working on the show. I know I was paranoid because it was literally right after season 33. So we finally got all these interviews. Everything was going really well for the podcast. Everything was taking off. And then Will's like, oh, yeah, by the way, now I'm going to go work on the show, so I can't even podcast or anything anymore. And I was like, well, shit, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I mean, at the time, we only had like 800 subscribers, even though we were finally getting interviews.
No, we had 1,000. We had broken 1,000.
Did we? Maybe barely.
I remember hitting that milestone and being like, damn.
Yeah. And then you were like, damn, bye, peace. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I come back however many years later. What is it, like 6 years later now?
And we're over 10,000 now.
And you're over 10,000. Like, I was holding you guys back, clearly.
Yeah. 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 So I know. I mean, I don't want to tell you that you were, but here you are. And I'm trying not to let you hold me back again. But so tell us kind of a little bit about what that experience was like and kind of
what's the question? The
so like, his exact wording was love to know his experience the first season he got to see in person when he started working for Survivor. But I know maybe you don't necessarily want to talk about all of that, but maybe you can just give details about how it became a thing and all of that. I mean, whatever you're comfortable talking about.
Yeah, especially because this is like the YouTube one. Maybe, you know, if it's behind if it's a little more intimate, you know, specialist community would share a little bit more, not to like bribe anybody to like,
yeah,
but I just, you know, this is going to be a public video on YouTube.
Hey man, there's some recent developments in the Survivor community, and I don't blame you for being wanting to keep private stuff private in Survivor. That's all I'll say. So continue.
I don't even know what that's in reference to, but yeah. I guess I can just describe the feel. I mean, the feel when I got, I had sent an example of a challenge over to the challenge team. And like, it was like, I even sent a follow-up email like, hey, anyway, I didn't hear anything. And just once I got that reply email and they're like, we really like this. If you can show us anything else just to prove this isn't a one-off thing, like we'll have you in to pitch challenges to us. I was like, oh my God. I think I called you right away. I think you were the first person I called. And then, I mean, obviously that was like, I was like, oh my God, I got to start thinking of other ideas. And I just got like, my brain was just scrambling, but I think I called you first. And then, so that was like the step of like going to actually do that part of it. And then knowing I was going to location, the email was actually like just a boilerplate email, mm-hmm. where it had like the basic info for like people that apply for Dream Team. And it says like, you've made it to like the next round of vetting. Nothing's official, but keep these dates open. You're on the list. You're on the short list. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like that's awesome. And I was like, wrote back, and then I was like, oh no, that's just a boilerplate thing. Like, you're coming. Like, that was just the, we send that to everybody. And I was like, whoa. So that was,
I do know for sure when you found out you were going, I was the first person you called, because you even called me. And I remember very specifically, I was living in that really small room in that apartment over on Hartsook Street by El Tejano there in LA. And I remember standing in that room and everybody else was out in the living room, and you called me. You're like, so I'm telling you before I tell my mom. And I so distinctly remember that moment. So that was wild, but it was a little scary for me, because I was like, well, what does that mean for this podcast? What are we going to do? Save the day.
I even thought, oh, I'm going to look at the time difference. I can maybe after work, like just watch the episode because it will air earlier in Fiji, because Fiji is like way in the future, and I'll be able to just hop on. It's like, once I got there, like, oh no, there's no way. I mean, it's like summer camp. Like you're working long days, you're doing like 12-hour days, and then you eat, and then you like, it's very social. You hang out with everybody. Like, I couldn't just go off for 2 hours, watch the hour episode. And there's watch parties.
Mm-hmm.
That the, like, once the show's airing with the crew, they would have like these big watch parties with everybody. And they have an open bar, and the crew gets together and watches the episode on like a big outdoor projector. So that's, you know, I'm not going to miss that. Like, oh, I had to watch the episode early so I could podcast about it from the thing. Like, that was never gonna, I can't believe I didn't even like potentially entertain that. I mean, I didn't entertain it for that long, but a little bit. Yeah. And I called my mom first when it was like the challenge email reply, but then once I found out I was actually going out to location, I think I definitely called you first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had to hustle and figure it out, and I did. And found Alexa, who was very, very good at this for a very long time, and we've worked, that's why it's able to continue and now revert back to you. And she said, you know, I've had enough, it's easy to revert back and go to you. And So now, but like, so with all of that, I mean, you got to kind of live the Survivor fan dream there. I know a lot of people, they always want to apply for the show or anything like that, but I mean, you got to see the show. Like, you got to actually experience, you got to experience something that the people who even play the show don't get to experience.
Yeah. And I was out there for like four seasons too. So it wasn't like going out for 39 days and you're, I mean, I know that's the big fan dream is to get on and be a cast member, but I think being behind the scenes, and I continued working up until like technically, I guess 43 and 44 doing some stuff. So, and you know, just work the crew, and there's a huge international crew, amazing people, like just kick-ass people that work really hard and do a fantastic job. And yeah, I mean, I obviously can't say too much about like behind the scenes stuff, but obviously phenomenal experience.
And the nice thing for you too, is it kind of led into a career rather than like the people who go play Survivor, you get to be on Survivor, you get your 15 minutes. Some people are able to launch that into, you know, something, but I mean, you're over here and I mean, your name is in the credits. So, I mean, people have seen your name there for like House of Villains and things like that. You've actually gotten to launch it into this kind of little, like the most niche thing you could possibly have gotten a career out of.
Yeah, no, very lucky. And that's why I said earlier with like the Pop Fest thing and Millennials versus Gen X, that was the season. They actually showed a clip from that episode when Jeff got on stage with everybody and they had never done that before. And that's why that season still resonates. And like, I have such fond memories of it because it was a life changing thing going to that Pop Fest. And yeah,
they only did 1 year.
I know, they only did it. Yeah. That 1 year, it all lined up. And then now, yeah, I think I've worked on like close to a dozen, probably more reality or competition dating shows, all that. So very, very lucky, very blessed. And yeah.
Yeah. He had asked about House of Villains. I don't know if there's anything you can say about, I don't know if there's anything you can say, but he had just said, what was that like? But
I mean, that show was so much fun. I mean, yeah. And usually a lot of these shows, I've done like four shows in LA. I haven't done a show like that though, like a big, where we do a bunch of challenges and like house, like usually you go to like, I don't know. We went to Colombia, I've been to the Canary Islands, the Dominican Republic. Usually you go like somewhere weird. This was like just in LA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I drive like 15 minutes through the valley and like the people are still living in that house. Like they sleep there. That's like, we're filming them, we're shooting. And it's like going to like, that was waking up, going to work, was going to the House of Villains into that insanity. And trying to, you know, trying to make it happen. And that was a coup. That was such a good cast, man. I mean, they were so great. And they're villains. Like, yeah.
I love the fact that like one of the things was at the Woodman, I think it was. And I'm sitting here in Florida now watching that. And I was like,
no, it's the Sherman.
The Sherman. That's what it was. The Sherman. And I was because, like, oh shit. That was,
yeah, because
it was a block from my house.
Like, yeah. We live probably like what? Like 2 minutes away from that.
Yeah.
And we had probably been there, and I remember they had that at that like speakeasy looking place. Mm-hmm. It's called the Attic because it's upstairs above the mm-hmm. restaurant. It has a totally cool vibe, like a villainy vibe. So, yeah, that's how when we were able to just, I was like, oh, it's right there. We know that place. That's how we were able to get that, feature that on the show. So,
all right, for the last question, since we're almost at a half hour, and if you didn't hear your question today, we'll get to it in the next episode. I know that there's a lot of patrons who already did turn in questions. I was kind of trying to do like a couple that weren't patrons, a couple that were patrons. I was trying to bounce around. But this last
you gotta give the patrons the priority. I know that this one is like the first.
The only question that wasn't from a patron was the one from Maxwell, to be honest. I didn't want to reveal that, but you made me. But I needed to know the Millennials versus Gen X thing because of that. And plus, this is the only one that it's not just patrons. So every other one is just going to be patron questions. But
right.
Since you were talking about villains, and since this is being released on the day that The Traitor Season 2 will premiere, I'm going to ask you very simply, and you can answer as long or as short as you want. Parvati or Sandra? And don't ask what I mean. Just answer the question.
Well, it's not a question.
I'm asking you, Parvati or Sandra? Who you picking? Who you got?
Parvati.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the, again, I don't know what the
those are the two highest ranked female players that you're going to get over and over again. Who do you take in the side of Parvati versus Sandra? Who do you like here?
In the traders or in
in general, if the two of them are on this season, they're coming in. There are Parvati stands. There are Sandra stands. There are people who like both, but are definitely going to pull for one over the other. Who are you pulling for? Like, what do you, if they were both going to be on Survivor again, if they're going to both be on the traders, if they're both going to be on anything, who are you pulling for?
I would go Parv.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That's all.
I like Sandra and I think she's great, but I do think it's like, because she was the first two-time winner and the only two-time winner for so long, I feel like she like got so overhyped. Like, and it's hard to be overhyped or overrated when you've won the game twice and you were the only one to do it for so long. But like, to me, I think it went a little like coming back on Game Changers and coming back on Island of Idols and then coming back on Winners. Like, we got a lot of
played Sandra. Australian Survivor too.
Yeah, like I think, which great for Sandra. And I'm not saying I don't like Sandra. I think Parv, it's like she plays once, fan favorite, comes back, wins her second time, and then we don't see her until Heroes vs. Villains, where she goes all the way to the end, like almost wins. Obviously, Sandra beat her, and then she goes away for 20 seasons. And we don't see her all the way until Winners at War. And I don't know. I just feel like I just enjoy her character a little bit more. But I love both of them. So,
yeah, I think people have a hard time remembering because a lot of people weren't even alive for it yet, or they were just born and maybe not paying too much attention. When Sandra was cast for Heroes versus Villains, that was one of the most questionable casting decisions for that season. People like,
oh yeah, big time,
raised their eyebrows big time at the fact that Sandra, Danielle and Candace were the two biggest question marks, but Sandra was right there as a, why are they bringing Sandra back? They skipped her for All-Stars and now they're going to bring her back. Like, were they hurting that bad for the female villains?
Danielle being in the cast was definitely like, what?
Yeah.
Like everyone, all the other female villains made sense. Like Parv.
Yeah. Courtney, all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jerry.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, Jerry.
There's only three of them other than those two.
But, like, yeah, it's funny. It's like there's only five of them, and they, like, two of them were, or at least, I mean, even one of them being Danielle still feels weird.
There's an alternate world. There really is. There's an alternate world where Natalie Bolton gets cast on Heroes versus Villains, and Sandra.
That's who everyone wanted.
And Sandra goes the way of Vesepia, though, where she's an early season winner that people talk about but never ends up actually playing again.
Mm-hmm.
She took advantage of the opportunity. You can't fault her for that. That's for sure.
No, not at all.
I'd probably go Sandra, though. I think Parv's probably the most overrated player in the history of the show. So I would take Sandra.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll dive into that another day. Maybe we'll do a whole episode of who's overrated, and I'll just take who everybody says is the top 10, and I'll just say they're overrated, and that'll be the whole podcast. But yeah, I'd go Sandra. I would. I also met Sandra, so that makes me like her more. That's all it takes. I have a picture on my refrigerator with Sandra. That's all it takes.
I think I've met Parv, so maybe that's
how it is. She seduced you. All right. That's it for the first Q&A. Thank you all so much for submitting questions. If you want to hear this more every other week, I think I'm going to be releasing this on Fridays. I got to officially figure that out, but I think it's going to be releasing every other Friday. We'll be releasing this to $5, $10, and $20 patrons. So if you become a paying patron, you get access to this every other week. Submit your questions in the Discord. You can also throw some questions over on the YouTube channel and stuff. I'll try to figure out which ones are patrons and which ones aren't. But if you have a really good question and you're not a patron, maybe we'll ask your question anyway. You just won't be able to hear the answer to it. So thank you all so much. Hope you enjoyed this. And thanks for sticking with us through the Patreon previews. This is the last one for now. We put out five of them, I hope, or six of them, actually. Hope you guys all enjoyed them all. And we're probably only a couple days away now from Survivor 46 having its cast announced. So, yeah, we don't need Patreon previews anymore. Now we can just get into season 46. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next.